few days after the retreat finished, when I was back at college, doing all the studies, messing around, had a free afternoon. And I thought, I'm going to go back and just enjoy my most beautiful clump of bamboo. So I got on my bicycle. All students went on bicycles that day, those days. Now, weaved your way in and out of the busy traffic, you know, getting stressed, but getting to the botanical gardens in time before it closed. I got off my bike, saw the bench, sat there and looked at the clump of bamboo. And I've never seen such a miserable, dirty, dry, withered clump of bamboo in my whole life. It was England. You can't really grow bamboo in a cold country like that. And there was a difference which shocked me. It was exactly the same clump of bamboo. But now, because my mind was busy and the doer had got all the energy, literally my mindfulness had got so weak, I couldn't see any beauty anymore. It's just ordinary, withered, dry. Who on earth would want to sort of spend 2 seconds watching a thing like that? And that was a real experience. And it showed me that when you do develop mindfulness, anything looks beautiful. These days, as a monk, because I practice meditation deeply, you get incredibly powerful mindfulness sometimes. You know, sometimes you've been meditating, you get so much mindfulness, so much power, so much joy, but you have to go to the toilet. And after you've been to the toilet, you look in the bowl and you look down and say, wow, look at that. That's amazing. Who wants to flush that down the toilet? I've never seen such beautiful browns and the way it glistens under the light. And actually, that's not an exaggeration. You know, if you didn't, you know, remind yourself, you'd take it home with you and put it on the wall. But you can't do that. You've got to be sensible. But even like, you know, a lump of shit starts to look beautiful when you get mindful. And that's true, because this is what happens when mindfulness gets strong. Everything looks incredibly beautiful. So no wonder when meditators really get into this, they're such happy people. You look around and everything looks beautiful and happy and you get so much joy. But it's not just for the sheer pleasure of it. It's also you can actually start to see deeply into things. So when mindfulness starts to grow on, it's more than you thinking, because if you're thinking, you're losing all your energy. This is one of the big problems with people. They think to be able to become wise and understand things, you've got to think it through. How many times have you had a problem and you thought, and you haven't solved the original problem, you've got another problem, headache or migraine. And it's a strange thing that people assume that you can solve problems through thinking about them. Thinking about them get rid of many of the obstacles, so you're not going in the wrong direction, but to really gain deep insight into things. It's not about thinking, it's about listening, hearing, being silent, being fully mindful and aware. Here's another simile which will elaborate on what I'm saying now. In the monastery where I live, in Australia again, every day in our monastery in Perth we eat one meal a day. So, it's usually supplied by the local Buddhists, and this morning there were some Thai people bringing and making the food for the community of monks. I walked past our monastery kitchen and there I saw 6 Thai ladies cooking the meal for the community of monks. As I looked through the window, there was only 6 women in the kitchen, no one else, just 6 Thai women. And I noticed that every one of those women were talking. Every one of them had their mouth open, saying something. And being like well educated, and being like mathematician physicist, I started thinking, if everybody has their mouth open talking, who's left to do the listening? Actually, no one was left to do the listening, because everyone was doing the talking. What a waste of time that talking was. If someone's doing the talking, at least have one volunteer doing the listening. Now, of course, I think you can understand what I mean. Everybody does talking, but how many of you know how to listen? Even when someone's got their mouth open, your mouth might be closed, but your mind's doing the talking. And that's not listening. How many times you've been talking to your partner and he hasn't heard a word of what you said? You know why? Because you've been talking and he's been talking inside. Can't she shut up? Doesn't she know I'm watching the soccer? Can't she wait until after the final whistle and then I'll sort of, you know, be able to listen to her? And anyway, she always says the same old things again. How many times do I have to listen to this? Well, I might as well smile and pretend I'm listening, but I'm not really. Now you understand what mindfulness is and is not. If you're going to really understand your partner, when she or he, you both do this, don't think it's just his fault, it's your fault as well. When your partner is talking, you have got to be so quiet, so still, inside and outside, that you can listen totally to what they're saying. You have to stop all this doing and reacting business and just passively gather the information they're giving you. You learn how to totally listen in silence. When they're talking, you are now mindful, properly mindful, listening to every word, listening not just with your ears but with your eyes, their body language, and even picking up some of the smells, which will also give you information, what they're trying to convey to you. If you know how to meditate and be totally mindful, it's amazing how well you can listen to other people. Your mind is still. It's not having a counter-argument. It's not saying, but that's not what I did. You listen and gather the information. And then afterwards you can speak. When they're finished, then you can think and speak. It's amazing when people practice this, how they become wonderful communicators. They can actually listen to a person, feel them, hear them, and then understand them. That's one of the reasons why monks become very well regarded counselors, if they're meditation monks. They become very popular counselors for two reasons. One, because of their mindfulness, they really know how to listen. And two, because they're cheap. Because we don't charge. Sometimes people give you an ang pao, but we don't know what's in it. It might just be an IOU, I'll pay you later once the recession finishes. But whatever. The main reason is because monks know how to listen. Because they know how to be quiet.